your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. And as always, we love hearing from all of you, your comments, stories, ideas. Get a hold of me anytime. Call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. Riding along, as always, is producer, sound engineer, and co-host Jeff Tigger Earhart. Where we are at, we are warming up. Let me put it this way. We are in the Northern Plains, and they are saying this coming week we might even hit almost 90.
And I know there's a lot of people that have already had temperatures
like that already.
Well above that, but it's kind of historically a little warm for us to be hitting 90s in May.
Exactly. We're dealing with a lot of drought already coming our way because we've been having a lot of wind along with it. I was on the phone with my uncle just the other day. He's way out in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and he's on the flip side where he's going, we have had a lot of rain, enough where the backyard is squishy when they walk on it. So I know everyone across the country is receiving all different kinds of weather this year, but if nothing else, I think we've all got that itch to start planting if you haven't already. And I was looking at some of the temperatures, and it's crazy. Like I said, we might hit 90 this next week, but yet...
Are you talking garden planting?
Yes, I'm talking about garden planting, but yet I looked at our frost monitor, and they're still saying where we're at. Kind of hold off till after May 15th or at least like closer to Memorial Weekend. Don't be planting anything unless it's those root vegetables. We're talking the potatoes, those kinds of veggies.
Well, looking over the weekend, I was fixing fence in the bog. And remember, I told you that the ground was still frozen and there was ice still like down in the cattails where the sun couldn't get to.
That's crazy.
I was a little surprised by that.
That's crazy. So I started looking around the country and I thought, well, who can be planting right now? Of course, all of you down in the South, some of you are already haying. Those things are happening. But Pennsylvania, let's just put it this way. They said after today, after May 10th, they said, go ahead and start planting if you're up in that area. And then those of you that are out in, say, North Carolina, turns out you probably already have your garden planting and you're already planted, and you're already seeing stuff come up. So we're still about a month out before we're going to start seeing any of our garden vegetables come up out of the ground. But regardless, we can't help but get excited. And with that in mind, I keep talking about going to Alaska soon, and it had me looking at Alaska agriculture because Tigger brought this up to me, and he said his aunt and uncle had gone years ago and had seen some massive vegetables because of, think about it, this time of year, their daylight hours last forever. They get very little darkness.
Like, aren't they like right now 2021, something like that? But when you are up there, it's going to be almost 24 hours of sunlight. Almost.
Yes. Yeah. I think they're speculating when I'm there, the beginning of June, it is going to be right around 22 hours of daylight. And I was surprised to find out, world record wise, that Alaskan farmers hold the world records for the giant produce, like 138 pound cabbage. Could you imagine 138-pound cabbage?
I told you, is a pumpkin on there? Because I thought like one of the biggest pumpkins was grown in Alaska.
Nope. They got beat out on the pumpkin. But they also hold the world record for a 65-pound cantaloupe and a 35-pound broccoli.
So do you think that would be any good?
35-pound broccoli.
You know when you grow, let's say, cucumbers? For example, right? The bigger the cucumber, the more bitter the taste
is. Yes, I always say they get woody.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to say barky, but woody. So would that be the same thing with a cabbage or what was the other one? 64-pound what?
65-pound cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe. So do you think the cantaloupe would still have that sweet cantaloupe taste? Or do you think because it's so big and massive, it would be a little woody, as you say.
Just wouldn't taste quite right.
Coarse, maybe a little more on the
bitter
side.
I have no idea. That's a great question. For those of you that are really into gardening and you really are into that niche of growing the largest whatever produce it is in your area, send me a text. I want to find out, is there a big change in when these vegetables or fruits start to turn and they just don't taste quite right?
Because, like, look at strawberries. Some of the sweetest strawberries that we grow are just the little guys, not the big ones.
I agree. All right. So give me a call. Give me a text. 305-900-2363. And let's find out how these fruits and veggies turn out. All I can think about when I think about the mass of veggies is the zucchinis. That's what comes to my mind are the zucchinis, of how big those get. And then everyone sits there and goes, please don't put them on my porch.
Now, when you're in Alaska, you can't bring fruit back with you, can you? Technically, I don't think you can. Even though Alaska's in the United States, you're flying into Canada. So technically, you're crossing the international border. I don't think you can bring fruit, can you?
I'm going to have to double check on that, because I think I can, because when I come home, I'm flying direct from Anchorage into Minneapolis and then grabbing a commuter flight into our hometown.
Uh-huh. So you may be able to grab some fruit.
Yes. I don't foresee a problem there at all. But I don't know about us bringing too much fruit back. I'm hoping I might still be able to jump in on one of those fishing excursions, and then maybe I can just ship some fish back. Like halibut. That's what I'm hoping for. We'll see how it goes.
And guess who's staying home? Exactly right.
News. I've got one for you. This one takes us to Wyoming. Wyoming ranchers are being paid to let elk graze on their land in a new conservation effort aimed at reducing the spread of chronic wasting disease. The Greater Yellowstone Coalition, along with the Wyoming Fish and Game Department, is offering ranchers compensation for hosting elk during the winter. This initiative helps reduce the state's reliance on feed grounds, which are breeding grounds for disease. The voluntary agreements involve ranchers receiving monetary compensation to cover costs like cattle relocation and infrastructure changes, such as fences that allow elk to move freely. The goal is to reduce elk cattle competition for resources and keep wildlife away from disease-prone feed grounds. While the program is gaining support, some hunters have raised concerns about potential misuse of public funds and the long-term effects of paying landowners to host wildlife. Nonetheless, proponents argue that this strategy offers a win-win for both ranchers and wildlife, providing a sustainable solution to elk management in Wyoming. Now, as a fellow rancher, I can empathize with the ranchers, as I have seen this firsthand, the destruction from wildlife, such as turkeys and deer in our hay yards, for example. So I'm going to be honest on this one. I'm kind of leaning towards, I like seeing that some dollars are being put back into the producer's pocket, because wildlife, we want to keep them around. Good conservation. This is, to me, a win-win for everybody.
But you said that they are going to allocate some dollars towards fencing, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Like, you got a fence around your hay grounds or something like that. I'm on the fence on this one. No pun intended. I see good and bad in it, but regardless, I'm glad that people are at least talking.
That's the big thing.
That landowners and those people that are trying to conserve wildlife, which go hand in hand with landowners, that they're at least coming to the table with potential solutions, whether you agree with it or not.
100%. I am right there with you, because a lot of times I will visit with some hunters that are outside of agriculture. They don't deal with agriculture every day. And at the end of the day, we're all on the same side. We just need to talk. That would be the solution.
As they say, six one way, a half a dozen the other, right?
Crew, let's take a short break right now. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this. This is Beck. First, I appreciate all of you for listening and making The Bend part of your week. Many of you have asked, how do I catch past episodes? The answer is super easy. Head to thebendshow.com and click on the Shows tab. There you can listen to every episode all the way back to episode one. Podcasters, head to your favorite podcasting app and search The Bend. You'll find us. Be sure to follow and subscribe and never miss another episode again.
The 2025 world famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale starts with horse racing. 6 days with pari-mutuel wagering May 3rd and 4th on Derby Days, coinciding with the Kentucky Derby that'll be shown live in Miles City, Montana. Mother's Day is extra special, with the moms free to the races and more races added May 16th through the 18th. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive. For a full schedule and tickets, head online to buckinghorsesale.com.
Hey guys and gals, this is John Armand with Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV. Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV travels the back roads to the backwaters in pursuit of the ultimate adventure in hunting and fishing. Join Team UOA every week for exciting action in the crosshairs of the outdoors. Catch Ultimate Outdoor Adventures TV on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and make sure to follow Team UOA on Facebook and Instagram to share in the ultimate outdoor adventure.
Welcome back to The Bench Show, your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle. I am your host, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck. And along riding, as always, is my co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. Now, what does spring bring about other than the tulips and the beautiful first spring flowers?
Weeds.
Those two. What else?
Ticks.
Ticks.
I knew you were going to go down the road.
If I wouldn't get in trouble, I would totally sing that Brad Paisley song, I'll Check You for Ticks. But no joking aside, just the other day, we talk about our border collie now and then. She's our beloved Naked. That's her name. Yes, Naked. But our border collie the other day, she came in the house and in one day alone, you pulled off, Tigger, 12 wood ticks.
14.
Oh, 14 wood ticks.
14. Remember the two the next day.
Well, I said in one day.
Oh, sorry. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, 14 wood ticks.
Right.
And I know for some people that's nothing, depending upon where you're at. If you've got the little deer ticks that are really, really tiny, like the size of a pinhead, where we're at, we have the wood ticks. So you can feel them a little bit easier. But I even have... She was on the product. It's a Zoetis product that we use for flea and ticks. It's called Simparica, and it's a new one. I haven't tried it on the dogs before, so I don't know how well it's working, and I'm a little surprised that she had that first chewable tablet about a month ago.
That's what I thought. You started her April 1st.
Something like that. Yeah, April 1st, 10th, something like that, and I was a little surprised that she had this many ticks on her. So I'm assuming she got into a nest because there was big ones, there was little ones, there was a whole little chorus line of ticks.
Some of us, I think some folks might have just realized, they said you heard said the word nest, and they didn't realize that, yes, wood ticks can be found in nests. They
have
all
you
hatch.
Ever seen one, though? Have you ever? I never have in all my years. I have never actually seen a tick nest. I think it would give everybody the heebie-jeebies, right? But I've never seen one. Have you?
I actually have, because when I was in college, I did an internship with a local coal mine. I was an environmental specialist for them, and I had to go out and map out on AutoCAD the different wet areas, wetlands, especially if there were any ponds. And we came across several of these different tick nests. And the bad thing about them is
it just infested and crawling with thousands upon thousands upon thousands?
They're really, really little. Just like we noticed on our border collie, the ticks are unbelievably small.
Yeah, they're really small. And even though they're wood ticks, they're still very, very small this year. So
yeah,
they're just little babies.
I don't miss that job, because I remember having to strip down behind some bushes and I pulled off 32 ticks.
On you?
Yes. 32 ticks.
At one time.
At one time.
That's a little nuts.
A little much. Now, everybody, I know if you're driving, you're kind of scratching yourself. You're like, I feel like something's crawling on me. But no, I'm bringing this up because we got to start watching, you know, our not just our pets, the kids, ourselves. So just a little PSA, the ticks are out already.
And we did some research and found out that ticks can survive like in your vehicle. They can be in your vehicle for a couple years.
Yeah, without a host.
They can just kind of go dormant. And because we've had it happen in the middle of winter, well, I'll be God-danged if that isn't a tick. Is that a tick crawl across my arm in the middle of January? Sure enough.
We were driving one of our vehicles, and we had a tick that was just walking along the dashboard. And I'm going, what? It's January. And where we're at, it gets 30 below in January. But yeah, those little buggers... they are there. So just keep
your
eyes out.
Check your horses. Check your pets.
Start mowing your grass.
Yeah, mow your grass. Check the cattle. If you got the show calves close by or something, just keep an eye out because the ticks are thick.
Horses. That's the other one. Make sure you're checking under their bellies. Yep. That's another area too. So
good little PSA.
I just want everybody to know about that. Next, I have a little travel hack for you. I came up with this one on my own, okay? Because I'm going to be traveling soon with a lot of family members, and we are 50-50 men and women, and it dawned on me.
Is this your Alaska trip you're talking
yes,
about?
Yes, but this applies to any time, any trip you're going on that involves flying. Here is my little travel hack that I do that I've never shared with anybody, and that is, you know those throwaway grocery totes that you go and you use? Well, you know, you reuse those totes again and again, say, when you go get your groceries.
Oh, you're talking when you go to like a farm show or a trade show and they hand out those free little totes that
yes.
have the logo of the sponsor
yes.
on there. Okay, I got
yeah.
you.
Pack one of those in the bottom of your suitcase. Hear me out. They weigh nothing at all, but yet they can act as your personal item when you board that flight to go home. Who I'm pointing at is a lot of times the guys. The guys, a lot of times you just have your backpack. You might have a small bag, but you know, you're allowed one personal item and a bag. So, or
so
your
you
roller bag carry on.
You can stuff that thing full is what you're saying?
That's what I'm telling you. As
not
a little wink wink idea, you can say, I've had you do this before, Tigger, and walk through the airport with some of our souvenirs and you don't feel like, oh, I'm carrying a purse or anything. It's just a tote with the extra goodies that didn't fit in your suitcase.
That's a good idea.
So I thought I would share
good-a-da.
That.
Did you get that? A good idea.
Just trying to help
good idea.
Everybody out so they don't have to pay for more baggage than they already are.
That's a neat idea because it weighs nothing. It's a good idea.
And then you can throw it away when you get home.
It's a good idea, Beck.
Okay, let's take a short break. You're listening to The Ben Show. We'll be back right after this.
And that's a good idea.
The hunt, the stories, the memories. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Let me capture and preserve that hunt, that story, that memory with a trophy mount to last you a lifetime. Look us up on Facebook at JB's Wildlife Designs to see samples of our taxidermy and reach out at any time with any and all questions you may have. This is Jake Fenrick with JB's Wildlife Designs. Taxidermy is my passion. Let me preserve yours.
Is there that particular pair of boots or that shirt or pair of jeans that you just can't find anywhere else? Check out Medora Boot and Western Wear. Medora Boot and Western Wear is the go-to for boots, jeans, especially jackets, and even those hard-to-find accessories that make perfect gifts. Check out MedoraBoot.com, or better yet, give Kim a call at 701-623-1005 and tell Kim that Tigger and Beck sent you. For the latest in Western and outdoor practical and fashionable wear, there is only one, Medora Boot and Western Wear.
Get ready for the thrill of a lifetime. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale is back, featuring one of the largest one-day match bronc riding events. Join us Sunday, May 18th at the fairgrounds for a PRCA-sanctioned spectacle where over 30 elite bronc riders compete for a massive $50,000 purse. Plus, add to the excitement with pari-mutuel wagering. Visit buckinghorsesale.com for full schedule and tickets. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive.
Welcome back to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle, The Ben Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. My co-host is here, Jeff Tigger Earhart. We're talking travel hacks right before we took a break. Let's stay on that subject because here's another one. Social media, we all use it, right? We're using Facebook. We're using Instagram. You know, we're maybe using
TikTok.
Here is a little insight. For those of you Facebook users and you're planning to go somewhere that you've been really saving up for, I'm saying you're going to Zion, you're going to go see Yellowstone National Park for the first time, Glacier, I'm heading
Beck's
to Alaska.
Going to Alaska.
You're going up to the New England part of the United States. Here is my big hack for going to any of these destinations. I join groups on Facebook that are for that area I'm going to. Now, why do I do this? Because that way I'm not sitting there Googling and hoping that Google's going to tell me what I need for, you know, packing my suitcase, what to expect, weather, those kinds of ideas. Those groups offer unbelievable information and it's right there. You're getting responses from those that just went, came back, and they're letting you know this is X, Y, or Z. This is what to expect.
And maybe some of those places that are off the beaten path that normally
you wouldn't even think about.
You wouldn't even think about going to.
So here's one that came up to, for example. I had recently, of course, I'm in some Alaska groups, and since I'm going to be landing in like Ketchikan, Alaska, Juneau, Alaska, I had never thought about this, getting off the cruise ship and renting a car so that a big group of the party, we could actually go and get into Alaska and see a little bit further away from the port. It hadn't even crossed my mind. So now I'm looking outside of the box, and it's all because I was in some of these groups and they suggested this. Same thing happened when I went to Zion last fall. I had never done an e-bike. And believe me, when I first saw folks saying, if you go to Zion National Park, you got to rent electric bikes, e-bikes.
And you were kind of poo-pooing the idea.
I was poo-pooing it.
You were not crazy about the electric bike idea.
The idea at first. Yeah, I wasn't crazy.
And now you're sold.
I am sold.
That's the only way to go.
I am sold. I'm actually now, I've been searching other national parks and areas where you can go and rent these e-bikes to go see the national park. Because let me tell you, you go to someplace like Zion and you drive your electric bike and you go through the park that way, you get an unbelievable, incredible view of that park.
And now, you get to see a lot more territory too. I mean, just, you know, you're going 15, 20 mile an hour.
Well, you're going at your own speed. Now, a lot of these parks might offer bus tours and such. Those are great. But here's why now I am sold on the e-bikes when I go and see national parks is because when you're on a tour bus with other people, what happens? If you're someone like me, I love to talk. You end up visiting and you're not looking at all the beautiful scenery around you. Those e-bikes, they make you take a moment of silence for yourself and to just be in the moment.
And these are little tips that you learn from just joining various different groups.
100%.
And just reading through the threads. And
100%.
Heck of a lot more interesting than most of the stuff that we see on social media now anyway, right?
Yeah. So instead of flipping through all those reels, go and join some of those Facebook groups of where you think you're going to take your family this summer or next summer, and you will be ahead of the game. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. Next topic, hunter safety. I'm bringing this up because as school comes to a close, sometimes depending on your state, you might find that local clubs, wildlife organizations are offering hunter safety courses. And now's the time to get those kids, the youth signed up, maybe get yourself signed up. Ladies, this is a great time too to be checking in with your game and fish departments or your wildlife groups to find out if they're having even some ladies weekends, ladies in the outdoors. They also offer a lot of youth in the outdoors, summer camps. And if you double check with some of those summer camps too might offer a hunter safety course for the state you're in that will qualify so that you have that card when you go to do your hunting for the first time and get your license. Anyway, just a reminder, everybody, in my opinion, should have to go through hunter safety or some kind of firearm safety. Even if you're a family that's against firearms in your home, to me, I believe knowledge is power.
And I think that everyone that gets their hunter safety, because I got mine at what, 13, 14, kind of, I think is kind of right in there.
I think I was 11.
I mean, I think I want to say I was a sixth grader, seventh grader, something like that. And I haven't taken it since, obviously. But I think everybody at a certain point after X number of years, they should be required to go through it again. Not because you are not safe around firearms, but because maybe some of the rules and regs have changed. Maybe some laws have changed. Maybe something that has to do with the landowner's rights or whatever the case is. Well, I think everybody should have to renew that after X amount of time.
I know you and I are both coming at this from experience of, especially maybe folks that, you know, you might have been in hunting for years. You've been shooting trap X, Y, or Z, and you think you're pretty good with your handling of safety handling with firearms is what I'm getting at. But I know I've seen it happen where I've had pheasant hunters from out of state come and visit. Nothing against them. I'm happy to bring them out with us. But I've learned the protocols of really watching somebody because they get excited. They're excited about the hunt and dumb things happen. And then people get hurt and nobody ever means to get hurt.
And it's few and far between that those ever happen. But, you know, it is good to bring that up.
It is. And regardless, because it can happen, you always hear it in the news, and we sure don't like it when firearms get an ugly stamp on them because somebody accidentally didn't put that gun back in the gun safe. Just good to know for safety handling. Everybody has strict rules in their house. how to handle firearms.
But I think it's a good idea still that everybody should have to renew after X amount of years.
It's just kind of like
to get an update.
You know,
I think it'd be interesting.
I think it would be too. I think it would be interesting to find those that maybe went through hunter safety, say 45 years ago, to go through what it is today and just see if there are some changes. What would it hurt? Lastly, we want to give a shout out to all the mothers out there. Maybe you're an aunt, maybe you're a friend that acts like a surrogate mom. Happy Mother's Day to y'all. Also, happy Mother's Day to my mom, Lois Wanner. Happy Mother's Day to Tigger's mom, Joey Earhart.
And, you know, a reminder that if you haven't gotten something yet for mom, you know, we always take your mom fishing if we can. This year we won't be able to, but, you know, normally we'll do that. We'll take your mom fishing.
But we will see her fishing, so we can give each of our moms a big hug. And you know what? Moms love hugs. That's all for this week, folks. Thank you again for riding along. And remember, keep sending us your questions that you might have, anything spot-worthy we need to know about, as well as those recipes. Barbecue season is right around the corner. We're ready to start trying out your recipes. That number you can call or text anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always email bendradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this episode or want to hear past shows, you can find them all on our website, thebendshow.com. And be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app and to The Bend Show YouTube channel. Finally, again, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me back all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch back if you can next week on The Bend.